This morning, we're going to talk about Christ-like obedience. The idea, the concept of obedience is not very popular in our world today, is it? Many people balk at the idea of being told what to do, especially in America. We as Americans, we stand on our rights and privileges, and we resent anybody who tries to make us do something that we don't want to do. It's free country, right? Do what you want. Yet when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, obedience is a central part of his life and his message. When Jesus preached his Sermon on the Mount, he talked about obedience and he stressed our need to obey God in every way. And that can be found over in Matthew chapter 5, if you want to turn with me. We're going to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Matthew 5, verse 17, it says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever, verse 19, therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Verse 20, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." You see, Jesus knew that there is not one of us that could keep that old law perfectly. After all, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, and in a verse that's familiar with most of us, tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It was indeed only Jesus that was able to perfectly hold and keep that law. Jesus never sinned. He never violated God's law. He was always perfectly obedient, but none of the rest of us are. But that doesn't mean that obedience doesn't matter to God, does it? Even though none of us in this room, none of us who have ever walked the face of the earth, save Jesus, are good enough to be saved, God still expects and desires our obedience. And if we want to be more like Christ in our lives, again, we talk about that, you know, trying to be more like Jesus every day, we need to learn to be obedient as he was. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. A couple books over. Luke chapter 5. We're going to read about an event in the life of Jesus. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. We'll read down to verse 16. And it says, "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Verse 13, then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Verse 15, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." From this brief event, it's only a handful of verses here, we can learn three important principles about our obedience to God. And the first point is that God's will comes first in compassion. This man was a leper. a very awful disease, and anyone who touched him would become ceremonially unclean. Keep thinking back to the old law. This means that this man has not felt a human touch in who knows how long, right? People avoided lepers. Even close family and friends would keep their distance. It was so bad that lepers even had to announce their presence by warning other people that a leper was coming. Jesus can sense this man's needs, can't he? More than healing, he needed to feel valuable as a person. So Jesus here, he does this surprising thing. He touches this leper before healing him. Uh-oh. Not good, right? The touch conveyed the Lord's love and compassion on a human being that was suffering. Jesus knew that what he was doing would gather a reaction from the people that knew about it. But this man needed healing. And much more than that, he needed to feel that he still mattered. And Jesus here, he offers that when he touched the leper before he cleansed him. And to be like Jesus, we need to take on that same level of compassion, the same compassion that Jesus had. We need to be moved not so much by a sense of duty, but by love and compassion. Because if we care like Jesus did, we're going to act like Jesus did. Second point is that God's will comes first in action. Because Jesus doesn't just show the leper here that he cared. He ended up offering him hope and healing. That is, Jesus didn't just feel compassion. He took action because of his concern for this man. God just doesn't want us to notice those in need around us. He wants us to help those in need that are around us. You know, too often Christians take pride that they have obeyed God in baptism or by partaking in the Lord's Supper each first day of the week. But they fail to have any compassion for the weak or the sick or the down or the sad or the depressed or the grieving or the lonely. The people that are all around us in society that need God. You know, real obedience does start with compassion, doesn't it? We read in many different passages about how Jesus was moved with compassion. But that motivation, that movement of compassion always includes an action, or should always include an action to help people. Thirdly, God's will comes first in devotion. Jesus healed the leprous man, but then he sent the man to do what the law of Moses required, right? Even what is it our passage say? It says Let me make sure I got the right spot here. He charged him, he said in verse 14, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses had commanded. He tells this man to follow the law, to do the right thing. Even though the Lord did the healing, he still called on the man to what? To keep the law. And when Jesus was surrounded by demanding crowds, they heard about what he did. They surrounded him. They wanted to be healed. He made sure he got off to be alone with the Father and to pray. Because being like Jesus will mean that we want to keep God's law as well as we can. And to help us to do that, we need to spend time alone with the Father in prayer and devotion. If you're not spending alone time with our Father, that's something you need to do. We all need to do that. We need that communication with our Father through study, through prayer. When God commands us to eat the Lord's Supper or to sing or to give or to pray, he's not just making rules to test our obedience, is he? He's offering us a means to grow stronger and more devoted to him, right? God is not doing this just to make us do it, right? He's doing it because he knows we need that relationship. God created mankind, the pinnacle of his creation, in his image, right? To be like him. We are social creatures. We need that interaction with him. And we can mess this up. We can just go through the motions of the rituals that we are commanded to keep, and we forget that it was the Lord who did the saving. We can keep the rituals. We can feel self-satisfied that we did it right, and then we can end up forgetting the whole reason for the rituals that God asked us to keep. And friends, this is why we must worship together. This is why we must pray to God as a group and as individuals. It's not an empty ritual that God requires. It's not vain repetitions. God wants genuine devotion that grows with our obedience. And to understand this more fully, we need to go back to the Sermon on the Mount that we read earlier. Obviously, the Sermon on the Mount encompasses several chapters. We didn't read all of it, and we won't at this time because for the interest of time. But we need to keep in mind that we need to keep all the will of God. Back in our text, Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, to fulfill it, not take it away. But it's true that his death on the cross would remove the law. Paul tells us in Colossians 2:14, he says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. But before his death, before that old law was nailed to the cross, Jesus lived his life in such a way that he kept it. He kept that law and he fulfilled it in every way. He also fulfilled the law by meeting all the prophecies the law and the prophets had spoken concerning him. In every way, Jesus kept the will of God. And if we're going to be like Jesus, friends, we need to also keep the will of God in all ways to the best of our ability. This is why we do things in the Church of Christ the way we do. We want to keep all of the will of God, right? We don't want to pick and choose those items that seem more or less important or more or less convenient to us. If they are a part of God's will, they are all important. If we are to look and act like Jesus, we're going to strive to obey every aspect of God's will. And to do this, we need to keep God's priorities in place. Jesus always followed God's priorities when it came to ministering to people, because he knew that the law was not just some rule book intended to bind people. Instead, it was a law designed to help people live healthy and happy and successful lives. Jesus also knew how often the Old Testament spoke of tending to the weak, the widow, the orphan, to those in need. One of God's complaints against ancient Israel was their lack, of concern for those who were in need in Amos chapter 2. God's priority was helping others. And Jesus kept those standards in his life as well. If we're to resemble Christ, friends, we need to remember that people, even those down and out, even those in sin, even those that may not fit the mold of a how a person should be. Jesus died for those people. Jesus died so that salvation can be offered to everyone if they choose to obey. How can we ignore them and call ourselves his followers? We can't ignore anybody. You know, we've been blessed as members of the church, as members of his kingdom, to possess a knowledge and an understanding of a relationship that many people in the world don't understand. It's our responsibility to share that. And that's not easy, is it? It's not easy. It's not easy for me. We live in a world, you know, back to, you know, think back to the beginning of our lesson this morning, a world where people want to do what they want. They want to have their own opinions, and nobody, there's very few times where people want to admit that they may be incorrect. But it's our job to teach that love of Jesus and to teach that obedience so people know what they need to do to acquire that gift that Jesus made for all of us. We need to be reaching out with the salvation that Jesus offers all of us. We need to be touching the lepers of our society, even those people who brought their misfortune on themselves. Prison ministries are extremely successful, aren't they? You go into this, you know, I mean, just to use this analogy, if you just follow me for a minute, like a leper colony of people that have made bad decisions and they are paying their debt to society, right? But we can teach them the gospel and help them understand that there's more to life than their present situation, even if that person is never going to see outside of the walls of that prison ever again in this life. They know, and we can teach them that there is hope for them too. We can help them make that realization that even though they brought this misfortune on themselves, there's still hope for them. And that's just one example. There's a lot of people in our world today that need to hear this. They don't even realize it, though. To be like Christ is to see that the most important thing is the soul of the person that we meet next. You ever think about that? How about your neighbor, co-worker, whoever, family member? Maybe a child or a spouse or a close friend that is not come to that relationship, that realization that they need that relationship with Jesus. Can we be the mechanism to help encourage them to make that leap and make that obedient step? We need to keep the heart of God. You know why Jesus obeyed God fully? Because Jesus loved God fully. That is, he was not keeping a set of rules to prove how good he was. He was keeping the law because it was pleasing to the Father. And he loved the Father too much to break any of the rules of God. You ever think back to somebody in your life? Maybe it was your parents, maybe it was a boss that you admired, or whoever. That you didn't want to do the wrong thing, not because you didn't want to get in trouble, but more, I just didn't want to disappoint them, right? We want to obey God because we love God. And we want God to be happy with who we are, right? Not necessarily because we're afraid of getting in trouble, right? But because we want to do the right thing and be obedient. We want to love God the Father too much to break any of his rules. And we fail often in this regard. We keep God's rules, but our hearts are far from him. Over in Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13, it says, "Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men." You see, Jesus quoted this verse in Matthew 15, reminding all of us that we can go through the motions and still not be honoring God. But friends, we can't be obedient as Jesus was if we do not keep the heart of God in all ways. We need to do better than the Israelites did, didn't we? Don't we? They could keep the law, but their hearts weren't in it. They were just checking boxes. We need to learn to love as Jesus did, to feel compassion as Jesus did, to reach out and touch people as Jesus did. Jesus left heaven to save sinners like you and me and the people all around us. If we're to be like Jesus in our obedience, we need to learn to love God and to love others just like he did. So as we start to close this morning, we need to obey. Even if maybe it doesn't make much sense to us. And as you read your Bible, you may find some commands that seem to make little sense. But I need to obey a command if God instructs me to do so. Think through your study of the Bible. There may be certain things that may not make a lot of sense. For example, some cannot fully understand why God would command water baptism for salvation. Now, we understand that it is explained to us, but there are people in the world today, they don't want to do that. They don't want to get wet. They don't, even though it only takes a few minutes, right? They just want a prayer to save them. They want to be saved the way their parents or their friends were saved, which maybe wasn't the correct way. But if you're going to walk with the Lord and be like him, you need to obey as he did. Matthew 3:13 says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him." Even Jesus, the Son of God, didn't argue with him over the importance of baptism, did he? He just obeyed. He just did what was asked of him to do. And that's what we need to do too. We need to follow his path and obey God, even if we don't really understand all that baptism does. Acts 2:38 lays it out pretty simply, though, doesn't it? Acts 2:38, when we're told to repent and be baptized, each and every one of us, for the forgiveness of our sins, to inherit the gift of the Holy Spirit, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 8:36 goes on to elaborate more. It says, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" It's pretty clear, isn't it? Scripture is very clear on what we need to do concerning baptism. And that's just one example. I mean, take any example, something that just said, I don't really know why God commanded us to do it that way, but he did command it, and we're going to obey. And lastly, we need to obey even when it's hard. I hit on this earlier, and that teaching the lepers of the world can be difficult. Sometimes sinners and their messes can be hard to face. Many people have made serious mistakes. They have hurt countless people. But Jesus still loves them. And Jesus still died for them. And as long as there is breath in their lungs, they have the opportunity to change their lives. It may be hard to reach out to some people, but we should obey and we should do the best we can, even when it's hard. Loving people as Jesus did can be hard. When you love others, every sin they commit hurts deep down into your heart. You can no longer look at sin as harmless fun or silly mistakes. You feel it too deeply. Yet we must love others just like Jesus did. Doing what God wants can be a challenge, can it? It may require an entirely new value system, a new way of thinking, a whole new attitude. But we need to be like Jesus and obey when it's hard. We need to do what God commands us. We have an opportunity to make sure that when we leave here this morning, we are in a good place, that we are prepared to obey. And we all sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. We all continue to fail sometimes, don't we? I don't consider myself to be somebody who continually lives in sin, right? But I am a Christian that makes mistakes. And maybe those mistakes have distanced you from God and distanced you from a right relationship that you need to have. There's a chance to let us pray with you and for you as a family so that you can be restored to a Christian in good standing with God. Or if perhaps you haven't even began your spiritual walk and you need to obey God's commands through repentance, confession, and baptism, there's an opportunity to do that as well.